If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you take them, please, and open to the New Testament book of Matthew. The New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 25. Also, in your bulletin today, you'll find an outline that you can use to follow along as we work our way through the message, which is entitled, Until Then, I'll Be a Faithful Worker. And this is the second message in a new series that I began a couple of weeks ago regarding until then. That is, we believe that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. And we believe in what's called the imminent return of Christ. That is, it could happen at any moment. There's nothing that needs to be fulfilled as far as the scriptures are concerned regarding our Lord's second coming. The next event that we're looking for, of course, is the sure and certain return of Jesus, who promised that he would return to this earth. But until then, what are we to do? What kind of people are we to be? What kind of activities, what kind of events, involvements that we are to be a part of? And that's the whole purpose of this series. The first message had to do with holiness, that until the Lord comes, I am expected to live a holy life. God said, be ye holy, even as I am holy. So we have been called to be separated from the world unto the Lord, and that we are to live holy, clean, pure lives. And then today we're going to be looking at this idea of until our Lord returns, we are to be busy doing the Master's work, to be doing the Master's bidding. In Luke chapter 19, the Master said, occupy until I come. That's the way the King James Version reads. Another translation is, do business until I come. And so the Lord has some responsibilities, some work, some business that he wants us to take care of until he comes. And that involves many things. It involves witnessing, sharing, evangelizing, sharing the good news. As Jane and Richard just sang, tell me the story of Jesus. And it is our responsibility to be faithful in passing the torch of the gospel on to the next generation, to witness to and to share with everyone that will listen to us, and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. But I say unto you, look upon the fields, for they are white already unto the harvest. But then he went on also to say that we ought to pray unto the Lord of the harvest, that he might send laborers into the fields, for the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So we have a responsibility to be working for the Lord and to do the Lord's business, to occupy until he comes. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. Until the Lord returns to this earth, then I am to be a faithful worker. In the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel, beginning with verse 14, we find the story Jesus told regarding the master who gives various talents to three of his servants. You may go back up to chapter 25 and verse 1 and notice the phrase, then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to. And so that's kind of the opening statement or the general statement, the summary of the next three parables that he's going to tell. The first parable had to do with the 10 virgins. Now this parable, the second one that we're looking at today, has to do with the distribution of talents to three of his servants. And he says, this is what the kingdom of God can be compared to. It's like a master who goes off on a long journey. And while he's gone, he has assigned various responsibilities to his servants. And he returns and then calls these servants into accountability. And they are accountable and responsible for the possessions that he has entrusted to them. This is a parable of what it's going to be like when the Lord returns and we stand before him and give an account of all that he has entrusted to us as his servants. So, beginning with Matthew 25 and verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the two talents gained two more. But he who received the one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the two talents came and said, "Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained two more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away. I hid your talents in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Until then, I am to be a faithful worker." A faithful worker. Notice three things this morning on your outline that we'll use as we follow along the lessons that we're being taught here in this passage of Scripture. And the first one is, of course, the gifts that the master distributed. The gifts that the master distributed. These gifts, or talents, as they are referred to in the Scriptures, were given to these servants according to the pleasure of the master. You'll notice in verse 14 it says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who calls in his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them." Now, he is the master. That is, he's the ruler. He is the boss. He's in charge. And it is his possessions that he is entrusting to the servants. And of all the possessions that he has, it is according to his own pleasure that he chooses what he's going to take and give to the servants. And so he gives 5 talents to one, 2 to a second, and 1 to a third. The gifts then are given according to the pleasure and desire and discretion of the master. They are his possessions. He can do with them as he pleases. He pleases to give and entrust them to the servants. And so the gifts are given according to the pleasure of the master. But notice also that these gifts are given according to the ability of the servants to handle them. Now, as the master, I believe that he understands and he knows his servants very well. He knows who is dependable and who is not dependable. He knows who he can trust and those he cannot trust. And so he takes these talents and he looks at this first man and he knows in his heart that this man is capable of taking care of 5 talents. And so he gives him 5 talents. He looks at the second man and he knows, well, he is a dependable person, a faithful person, but he's not a 5-talent man. He is a 2-talent man. So he takes 2 of his possessions and he entrusts them to the care of this man who's capable and able of taking care of the 2 talents. And then he looks at the third man and he realizes, well, maybe he's inexperienced. Don't know, he hasn't been fully trusted, but I'm going to trust him with 1. And so he gives him 1 talent. And he gives to each of these individuals what they are capable of handling. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about the spiritual gifts that God gives to his children. There are all kinds of spiritual gifts: hospitality, the gift of giving, evangelism, of proclaiming and being prophetic and helpful and so forth. There are about a dozen or more spiritual gifts that the Bible talks about that the Lord gives to His children. As a child of God, you have received at least one spiritual gift. Every Christian has at least one. Some have more than one. Nobody has all of them. But every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And whatever your spiritual gift is, God has given that to you. God the Holy Spirit has given it to you by His own discretion. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 11 and 18. It was according to His own desire and His own pleasure that He gave to you the gift or the talent that you have. And the same thing is concerning the ability. There are some things that I cannot do. I don't have a spiritual gift of certain things, but those that I do have, I am going to be held accountable for them. And God has entrusted those gifts to me. God entrusts a gift or gifts to you. And so He gives them at His own discretion and at His own pleasure, and He gives them according to your ability to handle them. The third thing that you'll notice, of course, is that they are given in order to test their fidelity. Look at verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Now, it doesn't say exactly how long of a time it was when the master gave them the gifts and then went on his journey and returned, other than that it was a long time. And that long period of time tested their fidelity, their loyalty to the responsibilities that had been given to them by the master. Now, our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been gone for 2,000 years. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, the first chapter, that He ascended into heaven, but that someday He's going to return. The same Jesus you see going into heaven shall return in like manner, even as you see Him go into heaven. So someday Jesus is going to return. It's been a long, long time since He's been away, but we believe that it could be today. It could be before this service is over. It could be before in the morning when you wake up to begin a new week of work or activities, whatever it is that you may do. We don't know when, but we know that He is coming, and we know that He is expecting us to be faithful until the time that He does return to this earth. Notice the second thing. Not only the gifts that the master distributed, but look at the rewards that the faithful servants received. Notice, first of all, it begins with a commendation. He commends these first two servants for their faithfulness. Look at verses 16 and 17. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gathered 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. Skip down to verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he says the same thing in verse 23 to the second servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. He commends them. He congratulates them. He expresses his gratitude to them for their faithfulness in taking the possessions that had been entrusted to them and investing them so that when he returned, he could receive back an interest, a portion of interest on his possessions. So he commends them. He speaks well of them. And I hope that someday, when that day comes, that Jesus appears and you stand before Him, that likewise He will commend you for your faithfulness and your trustworthiness in taking the possessions and the gifts and the talents that He's given to you, that you have worked faithfully for Him, and He will commend you for it. Notice not only the commendation for faithful work, but the promotion to greater responsibilities. Look at verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." So they received a promotion. I don't understand all of it, but I do believe this, that when we get to heaven, we're not going to be bored. We're not going to be idle. We're not going to be sitting around on a cloud, floating around, stroking a harp and twiddling our thumbs, being bored as eternity passes by. No, I believe that we're going to be serving the Lord in some capacity throughout all eternity. According to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And His servants will serve him. And again, I don't know all that we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord, and we're going to be serving the Lord, doing whatever it is that he desires for us to do. And so heaven is going to be a time of activity as well as worship and of praise. We're going to be serving the Lord in some capacity. And what we will be doing in heaven, the degree and the amount of activities, will be determined according to how faithful we have been with the responsibilities that God has entrusted to us while we're here on this earth. If he cannot trust us now with what he has entrusted to us, then how can we expect him to entrust us with things in heaven? According to my faithfulness, not success. Thank God he didn't say, "Well done, thou good and successful servant." He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So you be faithful to what God has entrusted to you. And your faithfulness and loyalty and fidelity to the responsibilities that he has given to you will determine what you're going to be doing in heaven. Now, I believe, and this is all speculation on this part of the message today, but that universe out there, those galaxies are out there for some reason and some purpose. Is it that maybe God has some plan, some design, some will for us to do something out there in outer space with all those planets and galaxies and so forth? Surely they're there for something else other than beauty and gravitation and all those kinds of things. Everything that is in existence, God has created it. All I know is that he said to these servants, "You have been faithful over these things. I'm going to give you the responsibility of many more things." I like what the New English Bible translation renders this. It says, "Something big is going to be given to you." Something big. Other translations render it as much or many more things. So there's going to be a lot for us to do when we get to heaven. And what we'll be doing in heaven will be determined by how faithful we've been to the things that God has entrusted to us now. So there was a commendation, and there was a promotion to greater responsibilities, and then there was an invitation to share the master's joy. Look at verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." So this is an invitation, wide open to the faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. One translation renders it, enter into the festive activities of your master. It's going to be a joyful time, a happy time, a hallelujah shouting time when we get to heaven, and we will enter into the pleasures and the joy. The Bible teaches us there's joy at the right hand of the Father, and there are pleasures evermore. So heaven is going to be a happy place, a joyful time, and we're going to be with the master. And we're going to rejoice because we're there, and we're going to praise him throughout all eternity. And so we are invited to enter into the joy and the happiness and pleasures of our Heavenly Father. These will be some of the rewards that you and I will receive based on our faithfulness to what God has entrusted to us. But notice the third thing, and that is the punishment the unfaithful servant deserved. Notice the excuses that he gave. Verses 24 and 25. "And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter any seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.'" So he's offering these kinds of excuses. And he says, "I know that you're a hard man to work for. You really are. And I was afraid of you." It's not hard, or we shouldn't accuse those who are in charge of being hard, in that when he gives us a responsibility and the instructions with what to do with it, that we would expect him to do anything less. Yes, you have to be responsible and a responsible individual. And yet this man hides behind this excuse. "You were a hard man. I know that you reap where you don't sow, you gather where you haven't scattered any seed, and I was afraid of you." You don't have to be afraid of the Lord. We are to respect him, we are to revere him, we are to hold him in awe, but we're not to stand in his presence because he loves us. We are his children. We don't have to be afraid of him. We shouldn't be afraid of our parents. They love us. They care for us. Sometimes they're kind of hard on us. It's not because they hate us, but because they love us and they want us to do what's right and behave and so forth. The master is the same way. Sometimes he has to discipline us. Sometimes he has to be hard on us, but it's for our own good. And we should not use that as an excuse to hide from the Lord or to hide the possessions that he entrusts to us. We're to take what he's given to us and we're to put it to use. And here's this man offering these flimsy excuses as to why he could not do what God had entrusted him to do. And consequently, he was reproved for it. Notice the reproof that he received. Look at verse 26. But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. You ought to have at least put my money in the bank, and on the arrival, I would have received my money back with interest." And then in verse 30, he refers to him as a worthless slave, a worthless slave. So the master was not happy with him at all, and he reproved and rebuked him. And notice the loss that this servant experienced. Notice in verse 28 through 30, "Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even that what he does not have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now let me show you the loss of this servant by comparing it to what the others received. The man with the 5 talents and the man with the 2 talents were invited, "Enter into the joy of the master, of the father." Whereas here, this wicked servant, it is said, "Throw him out. Throw him out. Enter in, throw this guy out." Notice the second thing. He said to the other 2 servants, "I will put you in charge of many more responsibilities." But here he says to this man, "Take away from him that which he has and give it to the others." So this man ends up with nothing. The other 2 have received greater responsibilities. This man loses everything. He ends up with 0. And then notice too in verse 21, the invitation is, "Enter into joy." Here he says to the man, "Throw him out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." No joy where this man will be going to as he is thrown out. Outer darkness. You ever wondered what outer darkness is? You know, sometimes it can get real dark. It really can. You ever been in a cave where they turn the lights out? And it is so dark, you cannot even see your hand if it's right in front of your face. Outer darkness, I've heard it described or read it described by one author. He said, you know, if it's at nighttime and you see a light, it gives you illumination where you can see, but you go a mile away from it, you can still see it. Go another mile, go 10 miles, where there's no lights at all. And the farther and farther and farther away you get from the light, the darker it is. So wherever this place is, it's going to be outer darkness. It is as far away from the light as you can possibly get. It is going to be dark for this man. No light, no possibility, not even a ray of any one kind. It is outer darkness. And notice that he is called a wicked servant. He's lazy. And he is wicked. Did you realize that laziness is a sin? Being lazy is to be wicked. This man's sin was not that he took the possession and misused it as the unrighteous servant in Luke chapter 16. It wasn't that he took his possessions and went off into the far country and wasted it in exuberant living, as did the prodigal son of Luke chapter 15. It's not like the man who had a 10,000 talent debt to his master because he was an unmerciful servant. No, this man's sin was that he did nothing. Nothing. Now, Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite pastors and preachers that I quote oftentimes that you know, had this to say about wickedness. Spurgeon wrote, "His Lord called this servant wicked. Is it then a wicked thing to be unprofitable? Surely wickedness must mean some positive action. In other words, you think about a wicked person, that's a person who does all kinds of bad things, evil things, wicked things. No. Well, that's wickedness, all right. But here, wickedness can also be laziness. And so he goes on. Not to do right is to be wicked. Not to live for Christ is to be wicked. Not to be of use in the world is to be wicked. Not to bring glory to the name of the Lord is to be wicked. To be lazy, Spurgeon says, is to be wicked. He who does nothing is a wicked, lazy servant. So where do you fall in that category? God has entrusted you and me with certain talents and gifts and responsibilities. What are we doing with these? Until the Lord comes, I am to be a faithful worker. But if I choose to take whatever it is that God gives me and just hold on to it until he comes and I say, well, Lord, I didn't invest it and I didn't use it, but look, I got it intact. And the Lord will not say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He will say, depart from me, you wicked, wicked, lazy, worthless slave. To do nothing is wickedness. It is a sin for you to be given a gift from God and not use it for his glory. There are four lessons that I wish to point out to you, and then I'll be through. The first lesson is, for there to be a servant, there must be a master. You're not a servant unless you have a master, somebody who's in charge of you. Notice that all three of these individuals address this man as master. Master, I've taken your five talents, I've invested them, they're doubled, I got 10. The man with the two talents, master, I've taken the two talents, I've invested them, I've doubled them, here they are, four. And even this third man, to whom only one talent had been given, he addresses him as master. The word master in this context means owner, means lord, it means boss. He's in charge. It's his possessions. They are his slaves. And did you know that the Bible says that you and I are slaves? Jesus said, if you commit sin, you become a slave to sin. And the devil and sin becomes your master. Paul, over in the book of Corinthians, talks about our swapping masters. That before you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you were a slave to sin. When you became a Christian, you became a slave to Christ. And you've been saved from sin, but you're still a slave. Only the master that you serve now is a wonderful master, a loving master, an understanding and reasonable master. And so Jesus is our master and our Lord. He's not just our Savior. He's our Lord. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings, and he's the master. There cannot be a servant unless there is a master. Are you a servant of the Lord? Or are you a servant of sin? Notice the second lesson. The strongest motive for being a servant is love. Love. Now this third individual, this third slave, accused the master of being hard and unfair and unjust, over-demanding. But our Lord is not that way. Now he does expect and he does require our faithfulness to the responsibilities that he entrusts to us. But he's a loving and kind and gracious and merciful heavenly Father. And Jesus said this in the Gospel of John, if you love me, keep my commandments. So he is the Lord, we are the servant. And if we truly love him, then we're going to obey him. I love thee, and that thou dost know, but how much I love thee, my actions will show. So the motive for my wanting to be faithful to what God has entrusted to me is my love for my master and my master's love for me. The third lesson is that God expects his servants to be faithful. To be faithful, not successful, but faithful. Now, success, wonderful. But there are times that I witness to people and they don't accept Christ. There are times that I work for the Lord and whatever it is I'm striving to do and to accomplish, it never comes to fruition. But nonetheless, if it's not, I'm not responsible for the success of the gospel. I'm responsible for the presentation of the gospel and to be faithful to tell you the story of Jesus and to pass on the torch of the gospel to you and to other people in the world today. And we are to be faithful to what God has entrusted. God expects us to be faithful. That's what he said in his commendation to these servants. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so some of you have been given tremendous responsibilities in this church as teachers, as other areas of responsibility, and God will commend you for that faithfulness if you are faithful unto him. And the last thing, of course, is that God will hold each servant accountable. He will hold each servant accountable. Look at verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The Lord is coming back. And one of the things that's going to happen when he does return is that you'll be standing in his presence and you will be given an account unto him for all that you have done or not done with what he has entrusted to you. My prayer and desire and hope for you is that you will be faithful so that you'll not shrink back from his presence in shame and embarrassment, but that you'll be able to welcome him with open arms. And he can say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May we bow together, please, for prayer. It's awesome for us to think about that possibility and certainty, Lord Jesus, that someday we will stand in your presence and give an account unto you for what we have done with our lives. We want you to come, and how we wish and pray and long that it would be today that you would return in your majesty and in your glory. But we don't know the time nor the day. All we do know is that when you gave us responsibilities to fulfill and to be faithful to, that you expected us to be that way. And so may we be as faithful as we possibly can to all that you've entrusted to us, especially with the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is your son and the savior of the world, and that we would pass that message on and tell others the story of Jesus. And Father, today, if there are any of us here who've never heard or trusted Christ as Lord and Savior for the first time in their lives, may Holy Spirit, this be the time when you will bring to fruition all that you've done in convicting them of their sin and of their need to embrace Christ as Lord and Savior. And then should there be some here who needs to make a decision to join our church or to move their membership or surrender themselves to special service or whatever it may be, Lord, this time of invitation is yours. We turn it over to you. We dedicate it to you, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you have the liberty to move and touch our hearts and lives. Speak to us, Lord, and may we listen and may we obey and demonstrate our love for you and our faithfulness to you by doing just that. For it's in the wonderful and powerful name of the Lord Jesus that I pray. Amen.